The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
And a good morning, everybody. Hey, this is our last broadcast hour of the month of June. Golly, man. Tomorrow, the end of the week, but the beginning of a new month, July 1st tomorrow. Holy cow. So let's go out in style, shall we? Let's do something that will be of substantive value to all. One of my just great blessings is the ability to be in the company of just wonderful people. As a doctor, as a presidential candidate, as Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, we've been in touch throughout. And now back in private life, what a pleasure it is to say hi once again to Dr. Ben Carson on the occasion of the publication of his brand new book, Created Equal, The Painful Past, Confusing Present, and Hopeful Future of Race in America. Couldn't have picked those words better myself. So here's some words with Dr. Ben Carson. Welcome back, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing extremely well. Always delightful to be with you.
It is wonderful to be with you. You look at some history, and let's delve into it in a second. But first, I think one of the problems with our racial divide today is a certain level of historical illiteracy. People who look at the America of 2022, where we have not solved racism or gotten rid of it, but there are people walking around suggesting that it's like there's been no progress since 1950 or maybe even 1850. So just let me hand you that ball and run with it, because part of what we've got to do is make people appreciative of the progress we've made, even while mindful of the job we still have yet to do.
Yes. Well, one of the reasons I wrote the book is because people were using the race issue as a cudgel to beat people into submission, to make white people feel guilty, make black people feel like victims, to make you think that we're not making any progress, that we're systemically racist, that it's throughout our system and there's no hope unless we change everything. What a bunch of garbage. You know, I point out in the book how much things have changed just in my lifetime. You know, when I was a kid, it was a big deal when a black person came on television in a non-servile role. You called everybody into the living room, wow, you know? And now in the same lifetime, you have black admirals and generals and CEOs of Fortune 500 companies and heads of foundations. We've elected a black president of the United States twice. We have a black vice president, university president, including Ivy Leagues. I mean, to say we haven't made progress, it's just absurd. Doesn't mean that we've reached nirvana. We have not. We still need to make progress. But shouldn't we build our future on the great success and the progress we've made, rather than on the failures that have occurred?
Right. I mean, it's not binary. It's not binary. It is, in order to appreciate this progress, it doesn't mean we turn a blind eye and skip around with rainbows and unicorns saying, well, glad we solved that racism thing. Obviously, real racism still exists. It's part of the seamy underbelly of human nature. The sad thing is, with all of these phony, reflexive, politically motivated false cries of racism, makes it harder to find the real thing.
It really does. And what they're teaching our children, you know, critical race theory 1619 program. I have a friend, his 8-year-old granddaughter came home crying, saying, "Dad, grandfather, am I evil because I'm white?" You know, where are they hearing this stuff? And the school was saying, "Oh, we're not teaching critical race theory." Mm-hmm. Yes, they are. And it's really meant to divide us. You know, it's probably the easiest wedge to drive, the racial issue, but we're also driving wedges on the basis of income. income and age, religion, political affiliation, gender, just about everything, trying to divide the country so that you can say, I'm your savior to each one of these groups. And we, the American people, have to stop falling for this garbage because we're not each other's enemies and we shouldn't let them divide us.
Dr. Ben Carson is here. The book is Created Equal, The Painful Past, Confusing Present, and Hopeful Future of Race in America. And you've just boiled it down. People, I mean, I talk to people all the time about this, obviously, and they say, why would they do it? Why would they do something that's so harmful? It's so that the left, it's so the Democrat Party can say things are still terrible and only we can save you from it. Only by electing us can we rescue you from a racist hellhole that is America. What's the best Republican answer? I mean, we can stand up all day and go, that's not true, and no, we're not. But what's the best remedy moving forward?
Well, I think, first of all, we have to know what the facts are, because we have a media that has completely forgotten why it is the only business that is protected by our Constitution. And that is because they're supposed to disseminate unbiased information to the people so that the country can be run on the will of the people. But how can they know what their will is when they're getting distorted information? And so we need to fight against that. We need to come up with media that people can trust, and people are working on that now. I see a number of sites that are coming up. It may take a little while, but it is happening, and that's going to make a big difference. And courage is so important. So many people who think the right way are not courageous. They stand in the corner with their head down and hope no one calls them a nasty name. You can't do that. You got to get out there. You got to fight with them, just like the people in Virginia did, you know, last November. Get out there and fight them. And make our point of view well known and understood.
Part of our historical illiteracy involves people looking back at the time of our founding and just being shocked, you know, that people we've been told to admire, Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, that they owned slaves. Well, of course they did. A ton of people did. John Adams didn't. Thomas Paine didn't. It was a debate, we have since settled. We fought a civil war that brought slavery to an end. Here's the ramp up to that question. Part of our education has got to be that we've been on a journey. And one of the dumbest things anybody can do is take the sensibilities and mores and values and enlightenment of today and judge the 18th century through it.
Absolutely. And do recognize that the majority of white people in the South did not own slaves.
Mm-hmm.
That was something for the aristocrats.
Yep.
So why would you now be sitting there saying that their ancestors need to pay reparations to somebody? You know, those are, again, things that only divide us. I talk about it extensively in the book, but, you know, how in the world, even if we all said, okay, let's take reparations, how do you do that? You analyze everybody. What percentage of black do you have in you? This is how much money you get. I mean, come on, give me a break. It's just kind of crazy, the whole thing. And what we really should be concentrating on is how do we make society fair for everyone? Fairness. That's what we're looking for. We're not looking for two wrongs to make a right. Just fairness. Let's take the lessons that we've learned from unfairness in the past and make sure that we apply those so that we don't repeat the same things. And the same thing when it comes to history. You know, people want to tear everything down and rename everything. Well, the fact of the matter is, your history gives you your identity, and your identity gives you your beliefs. And if you interrupt that chain, you end up with a bunch of people who are like leaves blowing in the wind. They have no foundation. They don't know what they believe in, and they're very easily manipulated. And that's the reason when ISIS and the Taliban, they go in, they conquer a place, what's the first thing they do? They destroy the museums, the libraries, all the history of the people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're doing the same thing. We got to be smarter than this.
Dr. Ben Carson is here. The book is Created Equal, The Painful Past, Confusing Present, and Hopeful Future of Race in America. Let's come up to the present. And you write a whole chapter about, you know, the George Floyd moment, which broke my heart in multiple ways. Of course, the terrible thing that happened to him, the incredible unfortunateness of the spectacle of this happening at the hands of law enforcement, whom we should be able to admire at all times. But the 30 seconds, and then I want you to analyze it and see if you think I have this right. The multiple tragedy of the George Floyd moment is that here was an opportunity for America to show how united we could be. Upon seeing that video, black people and white people, liberals and conservatives, the rich and the poor, were all ready to unite and say, this is awful. How can we work together with better police training? How can we work together so that this happens less? That didn't happen. The rioting got in the way.
It
killed me.
And they played it incessantly, 24/7, not only in this country, but around the world, to make people think that this is something that goes on all the time, that unarmed black men are killed by policemen in this country all the time. And, of course, as I tell in the book, there's more than 50 million police-civilian encounters every year in this country. How many instances of unarmed black men killed by police are there? According to the Washington Post, not a conservative outlet, less than 24. So even that is a tragedy, but you can see it's a minute number compared to the number of police encounters. And there was another case that was very similar to the George Floyd case. Same kind of situation, knee on the neck, crying, I'm going to die. And he did die. You heard almost nothing about it. Why? Because he was white. So it didn't fit the narrative of the systemic racism. So the media just kind of chucked it to the side. And, you know, I make the point in the book that, you know, if Black Lives Matter, why are we not concerned about all the black lives every weekend in Chicago? And I suggested that maybe the athletes who want to kneel when our national anthem is played, why not go to Chicago and kneel at the site of each one of those young people who was killed, and let's bring some attention to that, what's going on there.
Dr. Ben Carson looks at the past, present, and future in a book with that subtitle, Created Equal, The Painful Past, Confusing Present, Hopeful Future of Race in America. You find hope in the future through faith and through education. You got one of the final chapters is called Education, The Great Equalizer. What do you mean?
Well, you know, in our country, if you get a good education, which makes you very valuable, you write your own ticket. I don't care what color you are or where you came from, because people need you. And that is something that my mother always emphasized to me and my brother. She said, anything anybody else can do it too, but you can do it better. But you have to really concentrate. You have to really make sure that you know your stuff backwards and forward. And that is absolutely the case. And this whole thing about systemic racism. The main systemic racism that I see in this country is from those who look at people like me and say, because of the color of your skin, this is the way you're supposed to think. And if you don't think that way, there's something wrong with you. You're a race traitor, you're Uncle Tom, you're this, that, and the other. And, you know, when President Biden said, if you're having trouble deciding between me and Trump, you ain't black.
Wow.
Why does he get to decide who's black?
To
me, that is the ultimate type of racism.
Yep.
And
so
that's what we need to get rid of and help people to realize that people are people. And God was great to give us a variety. It would be how horrible would it be if everybody looked just like you?
I know, or thought just like you. In our remaining couple of minutes with Dr. Ben Carson, you are fresh, enjoying private life clearly, and I'm so happy for you in that regard. And thank you for your service in the Trump administration as Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. So you were in your HUD office, I guess, on January 6th, and I'll hear the hearings and all this, and fresh testimony of how, you know, driven to distraction he was by an election result that he did not agree with. How's this all striking you? Is this the political epitaph of Trump? Or are those of us who loved him and thank God for his presidency about time to go, time to move on? Or is it time what are your thoughts on these last few weeks and the legacy of the president you served?
Well, you know, the interesting thing about President Trump is he continues to reside in the minds of the swamp creatures.
Rent free.
The Republican ones and the Democratic ones. They hated this man because he absolutely refused to play their swamp creature games, and therefore he needs to be destroyed. And they've been against him from the very beginning. They will continue to be against him for that particular reason. But, you know, obviously his policies are great. It would be nice if he could sort of let some things just roll off his back and not say anything around. But, you know, there's people from that's way New York is there.
Yeah.
they just don't do that. But when you look at what he's done, I mean, it was amazing. And then you juxtapose that with the way that the current administration is doing things, and you can see that elections have major consequences.
Yeah.
You know, if you have people who actually understand how to run things versus people who are always surprised, oh, I didn't know that was going to happen.
I know.
And who gets to benefit and who gets to suffer? The American people. And one of the things that I always emphasized, please learn how to vote. See, most people, they go in the booth and they just look for the name that looks familiar. It could be Satan. Yeah, I know that when they check it off.
Yeah.
And we keep getting the same kind of people. You got to know who you're voting for. And are their values consistent with yours? Our founders understood that we would reach this point, that there would be people who would be trying to fundamentally change us. And they knew that the safeguard was the people, but the people had to be educated. The people had to be sophisticated enough to know how to use their vote and not be manipulated. That's going to be the key that will determine whether we remain a free country or we go the route of Venezuela.
As a doctor, as a presidential candidate, as a cabinet secretary, as an author, the new book from Dr. Ben Carson is Created Equal, The Painful Past, Confusing Present, and Hopeful Future of Race in America. Happiest of July 4th to you, your family, to Candy, who's a co-author, a co-credit on this book. It's great, and I can't wait till we talk to you next time. I know it'll be soon, and I look forward to it always.
Thank you. Thanks for being a patriot, and happy 4th of July.
That is Dr. Ben Carson. Mark Davis, 924. All right, in our home stretch half hour, as soon as we hop into and out of the newsroom with Gordon Griffin, tell you what I'm going to do. We're going to hear from our own rising star out of the Texas Congress, the great Myra Flores. She was on Fox this morning talking about the horrible tragedy of the migrants who were in the back of that truck. And Governor Abbott has said some things about that, placing this at the feet of the Biden administration. Kamala Harris has said, oh, that's just Abbott playing politics. Brian Kilmeade asked Myra Flores what she thought about that, and she weighed in just in the last half hour. And while we were talking to Dr. Carson, Joe Biden managed to make his way through a news conference in Spain. He is in Madrid for some more meetings over there in Europe and started talking about NATO and European things. But then folks, you know, he opened the floor for questions, always a minefield for the president. And somebody asked him about post-Roe v. Wade America, and he started to work his way through the notion of changing the Senate filibuster rules in order to put a law on the books that would establish a national right to abortion that was fictitiously placed in the Constitution. And so we got some thoughts about that as well. So, and all of my thoughts combined with yours at 866-660-5759. Grab a line. First thing we do is head into the newsroom. Here's Gordon Griffin. All right, who's this?
I'm an angel, I'm a lush. I want nothing, I want too much. I am feasting, I am fasting. Satisfaction, never, never lasting.
Well, it's obviously heart, right? Barracuda, it's heart.
Craving for one thing only.
You are half right. Because, pardon the usage here, but it's only half a heart. Not half-hearted, though. It's Ann Wilson, just Ann, of Ann and Nancy fame. This is Greed from her brand new album called Fierce Bliss. Now, okay, what the heck is going on here? Because with all these folks doing nostalgia tours, and which is largely what they are, but which is great. I mean, I'm all about nostalgia. I mean, the Heart albums, Dreamboat Annie, Little Queen, Dog and Butterfly, doggone it, man. That was the soundtrack of college and young adulthood for me. Heart is one of the most underrated bands of history. So what's going on there? They were back together for a little bit. They would be together now, apparently, but Ann and Nancy can't figure out who they want to play with, who would be in the band. I mean, Howard Lees, Roger Fisher. I mean, I don't know if all the old names are, like, available or anything. So they're disagreeing. So Nancy is touring with what she is calling Nancy Wilson's Heart. It's kind of like Jeff Lynne's ELO, which has some of the old ELO guys, but not all, so he can't really call it the Electric Light Orchestra. So, and Ann is touring solo with a brand new album called Fierce Bliss. Couple of things about that. You can see her on stage, and I highly recommend it, September 24th at Dos X. It's Ann Wilson and Jeff Beck opening for ZZ Top. Dude, and it should be less than 112 degrees. At Showtime there on September 24th, we'll see. So anyway, tickets are on sale for that right now. But here's another cool thing to all the old coots listening like me will remember. If you Google the, it's funny, album cover, what even is that anymore? Why do they even do cover art? It's to accompany the download, I guess, now. And of course, vinyl is making a comeback, so you can see occasional album covers. But Google Fierce Bliss by Ann Wilson, okay? Fierce, it is the album I just played that from, which, by the way, contains some covers. I may take you on a 30-second tour in a second because I'm on a roll here. But if you take a look at the album cover of Ann Wilson's Fierce Bliss, there might be an air of familiarity to it. It looks like a parrot or something sitting on a rock overlooking a placid body of water in which there are some rocks. It's the lettering that clued it for me. You'll say, man, this looks like albums from my past. It looks like Yes albums from my past, like Tales from Topographic Oceans and Close to the Edge and stuff like that. It is the work of the still alive, he's 77, the great Roger Dean. He did a bunch, if not all, of the Yes album covers, the Asia album covers, if you remember that supergroup. If you are of a certain age, instantly recognize the artwork of Roger Dean if you look at the Ann Wilson album cover, Fierce Bliss. So anyway, it's some original stuff, but she also does some covers. Remember this?
I was born in a regional sinner.
Eurythmics record, right?
If I had a dollar bill for all the things I'd done, there'd be a mountain of money piled up to my...
Now, those are some shoes to put on there with Annie Lennox, but if anybody can do it, Ann can. She does a cover of Robin Trower's Bridge of Sighs, which is so wonderful. But let me give, just to wrap this up, just the final seconds here, one of the just genuinely great Queen songs of all time from Night at the Opera is Love of My Life. And she does it in a duet, her wonderful voice with the wonderful voice of Vince Gill.
Love of my life, don't leave me. You're taking my love and now desert me. Love of my life.
That's a pretty healthy template to walk into. Freddie Mercury, hello.
You will remember
Ann Wilson and Vince Gill. So there you go. That's Fierce Bliss, which I just discovered this morning. A brand new solo record from Ann Wilson. And it's not like Heart is dead or they're not going to do anything anymore. They're just a, sort of a momentary out doing their own thing, kind of thing. And part of Van's thing will be on stage September 24. Oshie and Jeff Beck opening for ZZ Top. So that's very, very cool. All right. So we had Joe Biden in Madrid talking about European things, NATO things. But as Byron York analyzed on Fox just a few minutes ago, they then got to the notion of jacking with the Senate so they can force feed abortion rights legislatively when their 50-year gravy train ride of doing it judicially, has failed.
And he said that Russia had hoped for the Finlandization of Europe, and instead they got the NATOization of Europe and Finland. And so that was his big point. But really, I think the news did come later about Roe and about Congress, because we know the president is under a lot of pressure from the Democratic base to do something about the Supreme Court ruling. And the House last year already passed a bill to codify Roe. And it would never, has no chance at all in the Senate because of the filibuster. We're not even sure if all 50 Democrats are on board for it, but it certainly has no chance because of the filibuster. So the president's news came when he said that he supported kind of a one-time only break in the filibuster in order to codify Roe. Now, the president was a senator for 36 years, took part in a lot of filibusters in that time. So this is his way of telling his Democratic base, I'm with you on this.
I got to tell you, in your life, and I've phrased this a few times, and it's just worth just in your life, you need to find someone who loves you the way Democrats love abortion. You have got, if you can find somebody with that kind of devotion to you, if you can find somebody with that kind of energy and passion to devote to you, that Democrats do as they kneel worshipfully at the altar of abortion, you will be in good shape. Texas is in good shape with our newest congressional star, Myra Flores. She was on Fox this morning, and Brian Kilmeade asked her to weigh in as the back and forth had begun. From first, you have the tragedy of those migrants in the back of that truck. Governor Greg Abbott saying that's on Biden for weak border policies. Kamala Harris weighs in, of course, investigating the root causes, I'm sure, as days go by, cobbling together a couple of coherent sentences saying that she thinks that Governor Abbott is playing politics with this. What does Texas' newest congresswoman think, Myra Flores?
Actually, they're the ones that are playing politics with immigrants and innocent children coming into this country. Protecting our border, securing our border shouldn't be political. It's about saving human lives. This is why we have been saying it over and over, secure our borders to protect children from child sex trafficking, to protect people from going through a dangerous journey where they're going through hell to come here to the United States. Why would we want that? So I'll never understand the Biden administration. I'll never understand Kamala Harris and the Democrat Party encouraging people to come here to the United States illegally, knowing that they're going to go through so much abuse, knowing that they could lose their lives. Why not focus on legal immigration, improving the process so more little girls like Myra can come here to the United States for the American dream? And that is why my focus will be legal process and improving the process so more good people can come here to the United States for the American dream, where they don't have to go through such dangerous journey. So this shouldn't be political.
I just love her more every day. Now, this was a special election that saw her ascendancy just days ago. She assumed office just 9 days ago, and she will have to face voters this November. Hello. And I would love to think that it's still a obviously heavily, heavily, heavily Hispanic district, which means heavily Democrat. But she won anyway, because shocker. Hispanics don't like open borders either. Hispanics are not signing on to vote for a party that thinks it's just swell to turn your 10-year-old boy into a girl, or vice versa. Her victory a few days ago was a remarkable and wonderful thing and a thing to be celebrated. If she can be part of the Republican wave in November, that is just a that's a signal of a changing thing of tectonic scope. I mean, dare we dream? Dare we dream? Well, yes, we do. So it is 9:50, and I got a couple of thoughts about tomorrow's show. Wow, Friday already. So how was June for you? Tomorrow will be July 1st. How will we kick off the month? A word or two about that next. My buddy T. Roy Miller with some acoustic instrumentals that I always enjoy sharing with him. Guy's just great. Thought it'd be a nice thing on which to take us out. So let me tell you that what we're going to do tomorrow is wrap things up on this Friday in a fashion that enables you to get into the weekend all fully informed and all ready for the things that lie ahead. And so what we want to do is have the opportunity to get together and see what's going on as the week winds down, see what's happening as we continue this path of crazy news stories banging around in the news and things that we think and evaluating the winners and the losers of the week gone by. So for producer Rhonda K. Moreland on Twitter at producer Rhonda K, R-O-N-D-A, capital K. For Mr. Matt, thank you for the technical guru skills and the journalistic excellence of Gordon Griffin. I'm Mark Davis. God bless our troops, our families, our country, and just trying to protect all three. And so let us leave you in the hands of, I think it's Carl Jackson filling in for Mike. Mike joined us from Germany. Check that out on the podcast. Join us from Munich at 7:35. Podcasts are up in just a moment at 6:60 a.m. TheAnswer.com. Have a fantastic day. See you tomorrow for the Friday program on 6:60 a.m. The Answer.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.